Welcome to Real Chalk, a Shrug Collective production. Mike Bledsoe here, stoked to be launching this network so that we can introduce you to amazing content providers like Ryan Fisher. We'll be posting new shows every weekday, so be on the lookout. As a thank you for listening, Thrive Market has a special offer for you. You get $60 of free organic groceries, plus free shipping, and a 30-day trial. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk. This is how it works. Users will get $20 off their first three orders of $49 or more, plus free shipping. No code is necessary because the discount will be applied at checkout. Many of you will be going to the store this week, so just hit up Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk to get set up. Enjoy the show.
All right, kids, here we go. Time for another Real Chalk podcast episode. We live in a time nowadays where everybody has a dream. Everybody comes to you and tells you about their app idea or their sick fucking shirt company that they're making. But I call them wantrepreneurs because nothing ever happens. Nothing ever comes from it. No one ever acts on the dreams and goals that they have. We sat down with the exception to the rule, Ashley Boakley from Buff Bake. Really great story. How she started her company, they hit a couple of speed bumps, and they were able to pivot and still turn it into a great, great product. So I think there's a lot to take from this episode. As always, stick around afterwards and leave us a review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell everybody, and for sure check out Buff Bake next time you are in Vitamin Shoppe, Wholesale Nutrition Center, Whole Foods, Sprouts, whatever it is. And you guys are going to hear more about it on this episode coming up. All right, Talk Nation, here we go. Sitting down with Fish and a very, very special guest, Ashley Boakley from Buff Bake is joining us today. We want to talk to you guys about not just entrepreneurship, but also what happens when you guys hit a wall. A lot of guys nowadays and gals have ideas and dreams and everything, and then they hit a speed bump and they just give up. And I think Ashley's story is going to be a great inspiration for some of you guys out there that do hit a speed bump like that, maybe find some ways to pivot and actually achieve your goal. We'll let you just introduce yourself and then we'll take it from
there. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm the co-founder of Buff Bake. We started it about 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I do like mainly all the marketing, social media, and me and my cousin Brittany started it 4 years ago.
Okay, so how many partners do you have?
We have four partners, so it's me and her, and then two other partners, Chris and Ryan.
Okay, so what are all their jobs entail?
I do mainly the marketing, social media. Brittany manages all the co-packers, and Chris and Ryan do all of the sales.
Okay.
Finances, the stuff that we don't want to do.
Yeah, I feel like everybody has it.
Exactly. I suck at the financial.
Even my own business partner, he likes to just be gone. And I just try to take all the stress. All right, well, I think the thing that everybody likes to always listen to and everybody wants to know is how did all this start? So I think we had talked just a little bit before the show and you talked about some childhood stuff that was I didn't want to know everything about.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get into that. And then let's start building into what originally started,
mm-hmm.
what you originally had as an idea, and
okay.
then like what that kind of blossomed into and
yeah.
where we're at right now.
Well, my dad's a twin,
mm-hmm.
so him and my cousin Brittany, or him and my uncle is Brittany's,
It's fine. The Jenners.
We've this all been hard. There.
Yeah,
I've never done this before.
Yeah. It's their first podcast, guys.
Yes.
My dad's a twin, so they're business partners. They're entrepreneurs. They grew up dirt poor from New York. They moved to Vegas and they were 23 years old, self-made millionaires. They built an empire, they have 40 bars and casinos in Vegas called PT's Pub. So they're kind of like my mentors and me and my cousin.
They own 40 bars?
40 bars, yeah.
Wow.
They sold them all. So they built and sold a business. So that's kind of like where my entrepreneurship, I feel like, comes from. And then I always wanted to do something with my cousin. So our dads are twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the end of fitness. Brittany was super into baking, and Buff Bake just kind of turned into a business for us. We moved to California in 2014, started doing farmers markets around Orange County and LA.
Is your product called Buff Bake right now, or just something else completely?
Buff Bake.
Yeah, but at this point right now,
we've always been called Buff Bake. Okay. Yeah. So we started with little protein muffins, and we were doing those at the farmers markets around Orange County in LA. And we realized that the shelf life was too short. There was a 2-week shelf life on these little muffins, and we're like, we're never going to get anywhere with this, right? We can't ship them into retailers because they're going to mold. And we had like a ton of issues. At the same time, we were growing our Instagram account. And this is like when Instagram was in its prime. So you send like an influencer a package and sales skyrocket when they post.
This is 4 years ago.
This was 4 years ago, yeah, when Instagram was in its prime. So we realized the muffins were not going to work. And then we introduced the nut butters, which have a year shelf life. And they worked really well for us. Vitamin Shoppe found us on Instagram. And they were like our first big retailer we got into.
So they reached out to you.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Vitamin Shoppe. Cool.
It's crazy because, like, when we first started this, every retailer that we got into, they reached out to us. So it's like, we didn't know this was going to become a business. We were just kind of, like, going through the motions. We knew we wanted to start a business, and we were, like, taking the steps to get there, like, by doing these farmers markets and selling a product and creating an Instagram.
You're hustling. Something passionate about, too. Yeah,
website.
For sure.
I love when products and businesses start like that, when they start, like, where the real idea is not even known yet.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that I wanted to open a gym. Like, I didn't know that I wanted to have all, like, these different streams right now that I'm going into now. I didn't even know any of it. It just all started with the fact that I just loved fitness and I loved what I did. And it turned into this and it turned into that. So that's really cool that you actually started just, like, going to farmers markets and then having this stuff. And then it just turned, and everyone just found you. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. We would, like, 7 days a week we were doing them. So we had like all kinds of shit in our car. Tables and crates and everything. Just like we'd drag it along town and pull it out and set up and do a farmer's market. And then we just slowly gained grassroots and gained more and more traction and got into more and more places.
I think it's so cool too. It's such a good story to like that Instagram can actually be like a useful tool. Like for some of us or for a lot of people nowadays, Instagram is just like a waste of time 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Your brain's just fucking rotting away and you're looking at cat memes and whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right? But
there's some good cat memes out there.
There are some funny ass cat memes. The one where the cat is texting the owner is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I can watch that anytime.
Yeah. But if you use it correctly, you know, it can be a great, great business tool.
No, so, totally. I feel like it's like life changing for businesses. For ours, it was.
For a lot of companies who are starting up and they're doing something in the food industry, is that something that they run into a lot? Is like short shelf life?
I would say shelf life's like a huge issue. When if I were to ever create...
I don't know anything about this, and some of our listeners probably have no idea.
Shelf life's huge. Like, I mean, the most retailers that you ship into, they want you to have at least a 9-month shelf life. So anything less than that, they're like weary to even take your product in because they're, it's going to... You have to ship it, so there's like logistics involved. Then it's going to sit on a shelf, and then people have to buy it. So they want like a certain amount of shelf life guaranteed, you know? For them to like be able to sell through your product.
What about some of these people who have a really short shelf life? How does that work?
Like, they better have a really fucking
like
good
milk
product.
Or, like milk or eggs or something like that. It's like,
I mean, people need that. I guess there's like a need for that. I don't know. That people can have short shelf life products. It's just a lot harder.
I feel like that would
like
be
like bread.
Really hard.
Yeah. Think about bread. Like it molds and I don't know. Yeah. 2 weeks you have to sell it like...
Yeah,
it would be scary for me, I feel like, to create something with that short of a shelf life, just because...
I never even really thought about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
For a lot of products, you don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, if you make supplements or something like that, they don't just go
out. Yeah, supplements, 2 years, they can sit on a shelf.
Yeah, okay, so you don't have to think about that. So, like, that's another thing that you have to consider when it comes to something like this.
Okay, so now you're at the farmer's market with the nut butter now.
Yep, nut butter. So then we're like, okay, well, now our name doesn't make sense. Wait, we started with muffins. Now we're doing nut butters. What does that have to do with bake, you know? So we're like, we need to create something where the name Buff Bake makes sense again. And so we're like, let's do a protein cookie. Because, I mean, to be honest, we saw Lenny and Larry's out there, and they were the only ones really doing it, you know?
I still see their cookies.
And they were crushing it when it first came out. I still remember, like, everyone was all over them.
They're everywhere. And so, but we're everywhere now, too.
There you go.
I know, I see you guys everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I know, it's amazing. Even when I see us places somewhere, I'm like, whoa, we're here? Because, like, we're in distribution. So it's hard to, like, you don't know where you're being sold at when you're in distribution. Like, you have different distributors that distribute your product, and they don't tell you where they put it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have a little coffee shop right around the corner where I live on PCH. And it's, like, it's tiny. And even they have your product in there.
I know what one you're talking about. Everyone says that, but I went there and I didn't see it there.
Yeah, it's on like on the left next to like the fridge and everything.
That's amazing. You have, like, your own little section. I'm gonna have to go get coffee there more.
And the coffee is amazing there too. So
yeah,
it's a good spot. So let's go back even further. Okay. Before the podcast, we were talking a little bit about your childhood and stuff. So I think it's really cool to like go back to the roots. You mentioned your father. He's an entrepreneur. Like, what else kind of spawned you to like jump into this kind of lifestyle?
Well, I was terrible in high school. I hated school. I hated school. Like, in high school, I failed everything. Like, I was a straight D student. Like, I think you have to go to school 180 days a year, and I went, like, 90 a year. Like, I hated school. I hated people telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. I hated having bosses that I had to answer to. Like, every single job that I ever had, I've literally been, like, fuck you guys, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And just like walked out. Never put in my 2 weeks. So I knew at a young age that I'm like, I have to figure it out. Like, I have to figure something out. I have to create something on my own. Because I never want to work for anybody else. But in high school, it was hard. I was like a terrible kid. My dad, I was so bad that when I was 15, my dad sent me to a boarding school in Ensenada, Mexico called Casa by the Sea.
It doesn't sound terrible.
I packed my whole life up, like iPod, because cell phones didn't exist.
My whole life. So you started with iPod.
Which at that point could only hold like 150 songs.
Yeah, like, I just love that's everything.
I think of Spaceballs when they have the giant fan. Have you ever talking about?
No.
Oh man, like the Princess Leia in Spaceballs.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
They're making fun of Star Wars, and like the princess is like running through the desert. And, like, all of her servants are carrying her stuff. And she has a hairdryer that's, like, the size of a car. And, like...
That's funny.
That sounds about right. Yeah. I could see you going into that camp with, like, 50 people, like, carrying your stuff.
Right? Yeah. Well, my dad was, like, he lied to me to get me there. He's, like, you'll be able to... It's right on the water. We'll come see you every weekend. Like, surf lessons. Like, sold it to me.
Okay.
So, sold it to me to the point where like I got vacation. In the car and, like, drove to Mexico with him. And he dropped me off, and the second we pulled up, I'm like, fuck. I knew I was fucked. There was, like, these huge gates, these 40-foot walls. I was in prison for 4 months, you guys. Like, I saw these girls in uniforms and flip-flops walking in lines everywhere with no makeup on. They looked miserable. And I knew it. I was fucked. So I was stuck there for 4 months, and the American government ended up coming to Mexico, shutting the school down. The school was so bad. Like, I'm telling you guys, I was in a prison. The school was so bad, it was on Oprah. Like, interviewing girls. Some girls were stuck there for, like, 3 years.
Jesus.
Wow. So, I was lucky.
Yeah.
My dad wouldn't have left me there that long, but some girls got left there that long.
So, what happened during that time that you were there?
It was crazy. You couldn't talk. You had to walk in lines everywhere. I didn't see my parents. Like, when I say I was in prison, like, I literally was in prison. Like... Slept in bunk beds, ate, like, rotten food. I lost my freedom for 4 months of my life, 4 or 5 months of my life. It was insane.
So did that play into anything? Did it give you some sort of motivation later on?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like that was just straight punishment?
Yeah. I feel like it was just straight punishment straight bullshit. From how bad I was. But it just made me, like, even more not want to listen to anybody, you know?
Okay.
Like, when I got out, I was even a little bit worse than I was when I went in. And then I remember I went on this trip to Europe for 30 days and, like, just going around the world and seeing people and seeing how people lived. I'm like, I want that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be able to fly first class. I want to be able to travel when I want to. Like, I want what I want. And I came home and I started a meal prep company called LV Lean Box.
How old are you at this point?
I was 22. So... At this point, I was working at the Hard Rock at rehab. You remember when, like, the pool parties were cool?
Uh-huh.
I was a cocktail waitress there. It was hell. But I made a ton of money.
Right.
So I used the money for that to start this company called LV Lean Box. And I was already connected, like, in the industry with all of these cocktail waitresses and bartenders who had to stay in good shape.
Is it LV because you like Louis Vuitton?
No, Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Because I live in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. I forgot that you live in
Vegas. I mean, I like Louis Vuitton, too. But, yeah. So, this is in Vegas, because I'm born and raised in Vegas.
Okay.
And I started this meal prep company. I'd make healthy meals and deliver it to all
22
these.
22 years old. That's...
Yeah. to cool. all these industry people.
So, at that point, what does your like daily procedure look like? Like, you went grocery shopping, you made the food, or did you have people do anything for you?
So, I had a friend who owned a restaurant, and I rented kitchen space for him, and I was allowed to go in his kitchen like 6 to 9 every single night, make my meals, store them in his fridge, and then the next morning, I'd wake up and deliver, and I would do that 3 times a week, so everyone got fresh meals. And then I honestly got, I feel like I got lucky, but this, one of my clients was like this tech guy, and he had like a ton of money, and he was bored out of his mind, and he lost a ton of weight with all my meals, and he ended up buying the company from me. Because I was like, I want to move to California, and I want to start this Buff Bake with my cousin, you know? And he's like, well, I'm going to buy it, like, I want to buy your company. I love what you're doing. It's changed my life. And so that was like my first company I sold.
That's awesome. Here's the thing, like you said, you're getting lucky. I hate when people say that about like other people, like, oh man, they just got lucky, like they just met the right person at the right time. You put yourself in that position, you know what I mean? You
weren't
just
sitting at home on your ass
and someone came and handed you a check.
Yeah.
You know, you did something and then you kind of start building from there.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
My story is very similar. Like I had a personal training client
who's
actually the person who gave me the money for my gym.
That's amazing.
Because he just loved my training and he loved my enthusiasm and my hard work and stuff, and it's like literally the same thing, and then everything kind of blossomed from there.
It's crazy because like you don't really know who you're affecting until like someone like that comes along and they're like, I believe in you this much that I'm gonna give you this much money, or I'm gonna buy this from you.
I tell everyone that, like, we have so many shows where I tell everybody, like, you have no idea who you're talking to at all times. You have to be the best version of yourself to every single person, especially if you're you're giving some sort of service away, like,
or even just standing in the line of the grocery store, like talking to the person next to you. You know what I mean?
It's
just always be the best version of yourself, and like, you never know what's gonna happen, but you have to put yourself in a position where you're able to win.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
that's like the most important advice that I can ever give anybody.
I agree.
I'm reading this book right now, How to Win Friends and Influence.
Perfect.
We always do a book recommendation.
We always do a book review.
Really?
Yeah.
So go ahead and say it again one more time.
I have two, actually, if we're going to do a book recommendation.
Okay,
absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. How to Win Friends and Influence People. I mean, I've only read, like, I'm four chapters in, but I've already, like, I think about it every single day. Like, what they talk about in this book, like, basically, like, you can, like, lead people, like, and be like, do this, do that. Or you can be like, hey, like, be a leader and like, I'm going to do this with you, you know? Like, that's kind of what it's about.
I like that.
Yeah. And there's more about it. I'm only on chapter 4, guys, but I really like it so far. The other book is How to Be a Badass by Jim.
I actually have that book. Someone gave it to me, but I haven't read it yet.
It's life-changing.
Okay, I have to read
it. It seriously is life-changing.
I got it as a Christmas gift.
I guess it kind of like is branded towards a girl, right?
It's a yellow book, right?
Yeah, it's a yellow book. But when I look at it, I like think more girly. But like this book, like anyone could read it and it relates to.
Okay, cool.
It's amazing.
Perfect.
I've heard that recommendation's been out there. I've heard that one a lot.
And the girl's just like so raw. Like she doesn't talk like in the intellectual, like big words that you don't understand. Like The Power of Now, have you read that?
I have not.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I mean, I could be a book.
I was going to say, keep going. You're on a roll right now.
No, but How to Be a Badass would be my number one book recommendation. It's amazing.
All right, so keep going on from there. You sold the meal prep company. You moved to California.
And
still
then,
22?
23? I want to say I was like, maybe 22 is wrong. Like, 23. I started Buff Bake when I was 24.
Okay.
So, yeah, 22, 23, around there was the whole LV Lean box. And then I moved to Buff Bake. I moved to California February 2014 and started Buff Bake. Like, the week I got here, I'm like, we're going to the attorney, we're getting an LLC, and we're starting Buff Bake. And so I'm like, I can't sit around. Like, I have to be doing something. And so, yeah, that's when we started Buff Bake. We got our LLC. A month later, we had our website live, and I somehow talked all of these ladies, these farmers market ladies. You guys would think it was easy to get into farmers market. These ladies are like hell. Like, this is like their, this is like their baby.
Yeah, I can see that.
To get into these farmers markets, it's like you're entering the White House. Seriously, I'm like, fuck, how hard is it to like sell my shit at your farmers market? But And so I talked all these ladies into, like, letting us do the farmer's markets because I could obviously see there was space for us, you know?
Take us through a conversation like that. Like, what were your main, like, pitching points when talking to these ladies?
I mean, I do so much better with men, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
Like, I am, like, well, every time I walk Typical into a buyer's... Yeah. Every time I walk into a buyer's meeting and I see a girl, I'm like, okay, I have a 50-50 shot here.
Screwed.
She's either going to like me or she's going to fucking hate me. But a typical conversation. I mean, I feel like...
Guys are just so fucking simple, dude. We're such assholes. It's unbelievable.
So bad. It's so bad.
Well, I feel like guys are less judgmental, too, though.
Maybe, yeah.
But
or maybe they just
me,
put those judgments aside for other things.
Yeah, a lot of these ladies would tell me no. And so I feel like the thing with me, and I feel like the thing that every successful person needs is, like, persistence. Like, if someone tells me no, like... Fine, see you tomorrow, and I'm going to come back and ask you the same exact question, or I'm going to pick up the phone and ask you the same exact question until you tell me yes.
I love it.
I read that actually about you online before.
You
did? Before we talked. Yeah, that was in the LA Times or something article.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's at the end.
Really? Yeah. I didn't even read that one.
They quoted you and said, like, even if they say no, I just keep calling.
I literally feel like persistence is the key to success. Like,
every girlfriend I've ever had, I was just persistent. They're like, no, no, no,
yeah.
No, yes, yes, yes,
yes. You're like, I promise, yes. You'll see.
Really fucking careful with that advice, guys. No does not mean yes.
Okay. I don't want to end up in a place in Mexico for 4 months.
Seriously. Yeah.
All right, so now we are starting Buff Baked.
Yeah, so we're starting Buff Baked.
We're at the farmer's market. We're breaking
at
into the forest
market.
Field.
Breaking into the forest field. So this is around this time, it was still me and Brittany, and then 3-4 months into the business, Ryan, one of our business partners, reaches out to us. He worked for Burden Snowboards for 20 years. He, like, owned his own little independent sales agency. Mm-hmm. And he reached out to us on Instagram, and he's like, hey, I'm really interested in your business. This is when we probably had, like, 10,000 followers on Instagram. And we literally thought we were famous at that point. But he...
kind of were at that time of 10,000.
He reached out to us. He's like, hey, I want to be a part of your business. And so he lived in Huntington. We went and just, like, met up with him. And, I mean, to us, we're like, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. He's ran a business before. And within 2 weeks, he was one of our business partners. And he just ended his, like, contract with Burden. And so he came on full time. And we started running Buff Bake out of his house. So literally jarring nut butters, shipping out packages. Like, Ryan's house in Huntington was, like, our home base for 3 months.
So that was going to be my next question, actually. At that point, like, what does your operation look like? Like, do you still buy all the ingredients in, like, at
yep.
Ralph's? Or are you, like...
So at this point, we were still making everything. And uh-huh. then we were a little bit above Ralph's. So we would find, like, distributors. So there's these companies that would distribute ingredients. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of to that point where we'd order in bulk and we would get a discount.
Larger
so
quantities.
Be, yeah,
okay.
Cheaper. But, I mean, we did it on, like, a really small scale. So mm-hmm. we weren't that far above Ralph's.
Okay.
we did everything around. We made the nut butter. And then we graduated to this place called the Hood Kitchen. It's in Costa Mesa. It's like a commercial kitchen where you can go there to make your stuff, rent kitchen space.
Okay.
And
That's
cool. then we graduated to our own facility where we actually spent $50,000 in equipment, which was, like, all of our money, basically.
Yeah.
To make the nut butters, and then we got to a point where this is, like, around the time Vitamin Shop came on, we were like, fuck this, we cannot make our own product anymore, like, it's way too hard.
Huge orders too.
Yeah, like, it's way too hard to keep up with these orders, we don't want to manage all these employees that we started to hire, so we started outsourcing our production. And do you guys know what co-packers are? Like, people that make your stuff for
yeah.
you. So we moved everything to co-packers, who make all of our nut butters now, all of our cookies, all of our products.
Was there any fear there at all that, like, the quality of your product would suffer when you do something like that? Like, when you were so hands-off now?
I mean, yeah, because they don't care as much as you do.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's
so,
not their company.
But at the same time, the co-packers that we do have, they're really good. So mm-hmm. We could be there the whole time. So basically, it's like we would go there and watch everything happen and manage their employees when they make our stuff.
Okay.
So
That's
there
cool.
was a fear,
yeah.
but we felt comfortable at the same time.
Gotcha.
and more liabilities on them too. Right. So it's like if someone dies from a cookie, like they are the ones who are responsible for it. Not, I mean, we obviously have some responsibility, but there it's more on them. Yeah, you know.
Brand, oh, that's interesting. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
co-packing sounds like a good way to go.
I mean, it takes, our production runs now, we run for like cookies, we'll run around the clock for 5 days straight, and there's like 40 people on a production line at once. So it's insane. Like, imagine hiring 40 people that you have to manage, and then like investing in all that equipment, and just, that'd be rough. It's so hard.
So what did it take for Ryan to become a partner? So let's say, so
it
now
didn't take much for him to become a partner. We pretty much just, it literally was sitting down at his table and...
Did he give you guys money or did he promise he gave some
us,
sweat?
Yep. So he gave us a little bit of money and then we went to an attorney and we got an operating agreement put into place and he was one third partner.
You just felt like he was going to help you guys tremendously?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did. Yeah. And then...
And that worked out, I assume?
Yeah. He's still our partner today. And then now we have, so then there's Chris too. So Chris worked for Bird and Snowboards for 20 years also. And he's our fourth partner. He and him and Ryan are really good friends. And he came in about 2 years ago. So we just got to the point where we needed help and we needed more help and
more money.
More money. He brought more money and we weren't enough. And he came in and helped us, started to help us.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now we're here 4 years later. Daily operations are running. What are like the biggest like problems and snacks that you're running into on like a daily basis? Some that you've been like, or maybe some that you just kind of like got rid of. Some that you've been changing like lately. Now that you're like big and you're running, right? What is like the stuff that you deal with on like a day to day basis, basically?
I don't even know where to start. I mean,
I know we talked just... yesterday, and you were like, I can't even do the podcast right now because I just want to kill myself.
Yeah.
So what does that look like?
I mean, you're co-packing twice a week, so dealing with our twice a month, so dealing with them is a huge headache. And then we have in-house employees that we're managing. We're trying to work with all of our retailers because we're sold nationwide and then we're sold worldwide. So we're in.
I saw that you're opening up to Australia and a couple other countries.
Yeah, Australia, Canada, the UK, Colombia. And so, I mean, Ryan manages most of, like, our international business. Chris does most of our sales. So just managing those relationships and doing in-store promos. Like, we're in Sprout, so I want to put a digital coupon together. Like, just help making our products that are in these stores turn and sell is, like, our day-to-day goal. Doing demos. Managing the warehouse guy. We have a 10,000-square-foot warehouse in Santa Ana. So right now we distribute all of our own stuff. And what else? I mean, I guess that's about it.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot.
So what's a typical work day? What are we talking about? You wake up at like...
I wake up... I've been trying to wake up earlier. I'm not a morning person. Like, well,
I mean, some people don't have to go to work early. I mean, yeah. Let's just talk about how long is a typical work day?
A typical work day for me is like 8 hours, I would say.
Okay, that's not too bad.
But like, that's not counting like when I go home and then I'm working from my phone, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or like answering emails or doing this or scanning a document or like, so I would say like I'm like always on call, but I would say 8 hours is like my typical work day where I'm in the office.
In the office, okay.
Yeah. Maybe 6 to 8 hours depending on the day. Some days I work from home, like I try to... It has to be fun for me. Like, I don't want to... I'm not the kind of person who sits behind a desk all day long. You know?
I'll totally go to the beach and be on my phone and make workouts for the gym. I actually did it last week.
I feel like that's the whole point of, like, being an entrepreneur, like, running your own business, where, like, you don't go into the office just to be in the office.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't go because it's 9 o'clock and you don't go home because it's 5 o'clock. You go because there's shit to do, and when there's nothing to do, you go home.
Yeah. That's all. Me and my business partners definitely disagree on that, because they do feel like that's what you need to do.
Okay.
But I do not feel like that's what you need to do. I personally feel like I'm more successful not in that office, you know?
For
like,
sure.
It's sometimes just, like, more, like, motivating to be, like, out and, like, you know?
Yeah. You're like back in Mexico.
Free. Yeah. I'm back in freaking Mexico.
Yeah. Behind the walls again.
Behind the walls. Big gate.
Well, you don't need
to
be behind a desk to freaking run a business, I feel like. It's 2018. We have cell phones. We can answer emails, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, basically nobody knows where you are at any point. Like, you can be traveling. You can be, you know, answering emails, doing whatever it is, nobody knows where you are, and I could still be getting the work done. Like, you only need to be sitting in one certain place, you know? You don't have a phone sitting next to you that can only ring in that place, so you can take your phone wherever you want, you can answer emails wherever you want.
Yeah.
You can Skype wherever you want, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. So I think, for me, that's like one of the biggest points, because I had a 9-to-5 like office job for a while after college. I did that for like half a year, and I was going fucking crazy. Like, I can't do this anymore, because you're literally just in the office, and there are days where you have shit to do, and then it's fine. But then there's other days where you're literally done at 3 o'clock, and you're sitting there until 5, and it's like, what's the fucking point of me even being here? You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
I like one of the parts of this so far was when you said you went to Europe, and you said that after you went there, you were like, I really want to have a life where I can come here like whenever I want, or I can travel whenever I want.
Uh-huh.
And like, for me, with my gym and my business stuff, I literally was like really happy with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I could finally leave the gym, which for me,
it was
like I did have to be in the gym all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas now I don't have to be in there all the time.
Yeah.
But I went to my first trip in Europe, and I was there for 2 weeks, and I'm a big hiker and adventure type of person. Anything you can get her doing is what I'm all about. So, I went to Norway and Iceland and Italy and like all these places and did all these crazy things. And I went by myself. I had no one with me.
That's so cool.
I didn't book one hotel. Everything was like,
just figured it out.
Everything was on the fly. Only one night I didn't get a place to stay.
What did you say?
I just walked the streets for the whole night.
Oh my God.
I didn't have any choice.
I'm like not a rough it person at all. I'm like, put me in a nice hotel.
I don't like to know like what I'm doing, like on my trips. I like just everything to be spontaneous. But anyway, that trip, literally, I came back and I was on fire. I was like, I want to be able to travel more than anything. Like right now, my motivation is not the Lamborghini. It's not the huge house. Like my motivation is like, I want to see everything. I want to experience everything.
Yep.
And when you said that, it like really rung.
Yeah.
And I know...
I feel like that's, like, a huge thing. Like, travel for me is huge. Like, I feel like...
Experience is over money for sure.
Yeah, it makes... I don't know. It makes me want to work harder, and it's kind of good, I feel like, to escape, like, your everyday life and, like, see how other people live and, you know, like, you become more grateful, too. Like,
100%.
When you go to these other countries.
Your whole perspective on life is completely different than someone who hasn't traveled.
That's one of the biggest points for me. It's not even, like... going out and like going to these like crazy places and everything. It's more about seeing the people and like understanding there's like different ways to live your life as well. You know, you kind of, when you live, especially like in America, I feel like you're so boxed in and you're kind of like, all right, this is the only way. And like, this is the way to live your life.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're talking about like 9-to-5, talking about like commuting to work every day, stuff like that. And then you travel the world and you just kind of realize like, it opens your mind a little bit that there are other ways out there to live your life. And it kind of makes coming back easier because now there are other options. Now there's so much more that you can do that you can play with.
Well, and it kind of motivates you, too. So, because you're like, I want to be able to do this again. So, I need to get back and work my ass off so I can go do it again, you know?
Yeah, totally. And just making connections with people, you know? Just being abroad, what we were just talking about, always being the best person. Like, you can be in freaking Italy and meet your next business partner or whatever it is.
It's crazy how much nicer people are in different countries, too.
Yeah.
Like, people in America are dickheads.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's so, especially where we live, I feel like, everyone is so rude.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, because everyone here is fucking famous.
Well,
Yannick's
from Germany, so he has that.
I was just going to say, it kind of sounds like you have an accent when you talk.
Totally.
I was, like, watching your lips move, and I was like, is he from here?
By the movement of my lips, you're figuring that out?
I was thinking the same thing.
Like,
I was like,
she has traveled a lot now. You're a pro, for sure.
God.
But I think I actually went to Whistler in Canada to go snowboarding recently, and I would say Canada's probably the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Canadians are very nice.
And I was in Vancouver, like, such a great food scene, by the way. And Oregon as well, Portland, Oregon, crazy food scene. But either way, the people in Vancouver were just, like, they made me feel like I was a terrible person because they were so nice. Like, oh my God, you're the nicest human I've ever met.
That's funny.
But, yeah.
Bottom line, travel the world is what we're trying to say.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
It's a big deal. And it's good motivation.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you haven't been on a trip soon, highly recommend you guys go on a trip. Even if it's just
a road
trip. You could road trip.
Yeah.
Like, even where we're at right now, we're in Orange County.
Go to San Francisco.
You can go an hour north of LA.
Yeah.
Or you can go an hour and a half to San Diego. Totally different vibe.
Yeah.
Depending on where you guys are at, might not have that opportunity, but maybe a couple hours you can go somewhere totally different.
For sure. There's definitely like options out there.
Yeah, you don't have to be rich for sure. All right, so now you guys, you have three other business partners now.
Yep.
Buff Baked is cruising.
cruising along.
And now, are you at that place now where you can go and do these travels like that?
Yeah, I mean,
22-year-old wanted to do.
Yeah, there's four of us. Well, there's four of us. So I mean, when someone wants to leave, like I guess I'm the one that always wants to leave. Me and like some people want to be there all the time, but like we're definitely at the point where we can go on these vacations whenever we want to do that.
Yeah, I saw. I'm friends with your fiance, and is it fiance for the man?
Yes,
too?
Fiance.
I'm hoping to have him on the show as well at some point. But I saw that you guys. I follow both of you guys on Instagram, and I saw that you guys went to Belgium,
Amsterdam, and Paris,
where he proposed
under the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
Pretty well done.
I had no idea.
Nice job.
He's a cutie.
So, any other countries or those three?
Just those three.
Yeah. And how long have you guys gone for?
We were gone for 12 days.
12 days, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Buff Bake was fine with the other three people back at home.
Cool.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel like we're totally to a point where we can do that now.
Was that the first time you've been back to Europe since that last trip that we talked about?
No. So, we have European distributors out there also who distribute our product throughout, like, Amsterdam and then a big one in the UK.
Okay.
So, they have, you know how, like, they do, like, Olympia and LA Fit Expo mm-hmm. here? They have big fitness expos over in Europe. So, me and my cousin, Brittany, we would actually go over there, like, for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been... And we've set up, like, a little booth at the expos there. It's okay. called Body Power.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, their big UK expo. And so we would go out there, too. We'd make a trip out of it, though. Okay. Like, it's a 3-day expo, and we'll go for, like, 10 days.
Oh, all right. So you think it's okay.
Buff Bake pays for it. So we're like, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
All right. So now you're this big ball of businesswoman. If you could talk to a 22-year-old self now, is there anything you would do differently? Any advice you would give her? Anything like that?
Oh my god.
This is the most important part of the show. Don't mess it up.
My 22-year-old self was a know-it-all little bitch. So, yeah.
So she probably wouldn't have listened anyways.
No, she probably would not be listening.
Well, there's a lot of 22-year-old know-it-alls listening to this right
now.
Yeah.
Sure. So they need an important message right now.
I mean, I feel like here's my outlook on successful people. I feel like people either get it or they don't get it. Like, and you can't really teach somebody to be, like, motivated and passionate. And it's like they either have it in you, you either have it in you or you don't. Agreed. You know? Like, you can't teach somebody to, like...
Every successful person I've ever talked to, they always said, I knew I was successful before I was successful. Like, I saw myself being successful
100%.
Before I was successful. I actually 100%. Acted like I was successful before I was successful.
And I feel like that's...
Fake it to make it is a real thing.
I feel like that's really what works. Makes you successful, though. You have to have that mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, my mindset, I've always known it. Like, I've always known that I already have it, you know? And I've never thought any differently. So, I feel like that's... I kept pushing. So, I don't know what I would tell my 22-year-old self. I guess...
Are you happy with the way you did every single thing? Or would you go back and be like, you know what? Maybe I would have had, like, one less business partner. Maybe I would have... borrowed money from a friend instead of these other people? Or are you happy with the way everything is?
I probably would have had less business partners.
Yeah, because now you're sharing profits, right?
Yeah.
But you're more confident now.
But I have good business partners.
Yeah, of
so,
course.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But I feel like you either get it or you don't. Like, and you have to have that drive and you have to have that... motivation, and it like it's just something that's in you, you know. Like, I don't feel like any you can't teach somebody to be successful or like be an entrepreneur or like you just have to like want
it. It's like an internal fire that you either have.
Yeah, you either have it or you don't.
Do you think that it for some people it depends though on like what path they take? Because when you were talking about like how you were in school,
uh-huh.
you were literally describing me in school. Like, it was exactly the same. And then there was no drive, there was no motivation, but I always
there
loved playing
was,
sports.
Though.
Like, I always had sports, and like, uh-huh. in sports, I was like, all right, I gotta be the best, I gotta do this. Like, I was looking up videos and trying to find coaches and just trying to be the best. So, like, I loved this path of my life, but I hated school. Like, I never was studying, I never wanted to be smarter. I didn't give a shit about any
but
of that.
Even when I did not give a shit about any of it, and I would just, like, fuck this, like, I always thought I was smarter than my teachers.
Yeah, fair
enough. Like, I always, like, I still had that drive, you know? I'm like, I was like, fuck school because I know I'm going to do something bigger, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when this is the bitch in me, I feel like.
Bring it out.
I was like,
see it.
Let's
go.
No, but I, like, I did think I was smarter than my teachers. When I was 15 years old, I thought, you know, but I guess that's like a...
this, 100%.
Yeah. In German, but you did it.
In German.
I don't know. I've always just had that in me. But like you said, like, I feel like I've always envisioned and I've never thought I wasn't successful. Like, in my head, even when I, like, had no money at all, like, I was like, I'm successful.
Yeah. Someone calls you and they're like, what are you doing? Like, I got shit to do. Like, leave me alone. I got all this stuff. No matter what.
Yeah.
The fact that they called you already is an abomination. It should have been a text message. I'm not picking up that phone call. No one's important enough to have a phone call.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Dude, a phone call pisses me off. I'm like, who the fuck is
this? I feel like awkward on the phone sometimes.
Oh my god, totally.
You know, it's like, why are you?
It's like someone asking me to write a script. I'm like, oh my god.
I've seen you on the phone. Like, I've been in the car with you, and you answer the phone, and you're literally the first word out of your mouth. You're trying to get the person off the phone immediately.
I'm the same way though. I think phone calls are weird too. Like, email me or text me. You know?
And I think what's crazy nowadays too is, like you're saying, you know more than your teachers. I think we're actually going to see a time where I think that people are like, school is a waste of time. People nowadays, like, it's... I read that, like, people trying to get into Harvard and Yale and all these crazy schools now is, like,
down.
Way, way down. Like, 30% less people trying to get into these crazy Ivy League schools, right?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of applications they're getting is significantly less.
Yeah.
And there's more people on Earth.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like school is bullshit. I feel like
internships. I think you should graduate high school, go straight into an internship, what you want to do, learn it, pick it up.
I will never judge somebody off their resume. Like, if I have a resume and you went to Harvard and I have a resume and you are working at Starbucks and just graduated high school, like, I will judge the person when I meet them. Like, I don't care if you went to Harvard. Like, if you're the person who just graduated high school and I can see that you have that drive in you more than that Harvard, you know? Like,
totally, yeah.
I feel like real life experience is, like, so much more valuable than sitting in a classroom for 4 or 5 years and reading out of the fucking textbook.
Yeah.
Like, what are you learning out of that textbook?
It's
a
flawed fucking system. It's been around since people were wearing fucking wigs and writing with feathers. Like, it just doesn't work anymore. Like, someone needs to update it.
Yeah.
You're talking to a double dropper, by the way. I dropped out of college twice. And I honestly think, looking back, that was the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah.
And I do graphic design, so I feel like a lot of things that I know now, I've taught myself because of the internet. Like, you have this availability out there. I'm sure, like, you with your business path, there were a lot of shit we just got online and just started Googling stuff. Like, okay, well, how the fuck do I do this?
Okay, I should have started this whole thing with that, actually. Like, literally, that's how I figured everything out. Like, is Google. Google taught me everything.
Yeah.
How do I find a co-packer? How do I find muffin packaging? How do I make nut butter? Like,
oh, man, when the computer, like, when I learned how to use Google, like,
it
was on dial-up.
Because,
I mean, I'm older than you guys, and I literally was just,
I remember dial-up.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
how old are you?
AOL.
How old are you?
29.
Okay, I'm 30.
We had this, too.
All right. Okay.
Because Germany is, like, 30 years behind. So.
Dude, I remember being on the computer, and it was like, this is, like, 30 minutes to sign on.
Do you remember,
like,
chat rooms?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I'm a young boy. I'm friggin'. I got calluses in my right hand for days.
That's funny.
I'd be in the
Please
chat room.
Tell me you remember your chat room name, dude. I need to know.
Dude, honestly.
Any sentence started like this.
Dude. I'm so embarrassed, but no, I'm gonna own it.
Yeah.
Honestly, my name was Wanna Ride My Pony.
That's hilarious.
That is the plug for the show right
Perfect.
There.
Perfect.
Wanna Ride My Pony. I changed
like
it a few times to Are Those Real? I went back and forth. I kept Wanna Ride My Pony. It's still currently my Skype name.
Oh,
so I Skyped my mom like a month ago. My mom's like, you have to get rid of this.
Oh my god.
That's really funny.
Also, you just gave out your Skype name, so now you're getting a bunch of weird ass fucking calls. But yeah, internet is amazing. Like, you can learn anything. You can learn anything on YouTube nowadays. Like, I think with what I said earlier in the podcast too, was just like Instagram and stuff. We have this like power in our hands with our phones. You just kind of know how to use it the right way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Instagram is why I feel like we are where we're at today.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Instagram's huge. I mean, not as much now. It's definitely died down a ton from because people realize what it is now. You know, 4 years ago, no one realized what it was. Like, it was the new thing, and like the new, and you could get away with more. Like, influencers now, you send them something, and they're like, pay me $5,000 and I'll post it. Every single time. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to pay you $5,000.
And I think everything's shifting now. Like, I think more the video and the voice. So, like, YouTube and podcasts, I feel like, are getting bigger now.
Yeah.
Than Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of shit on Instagram. Like, there's a lot of buff bakes on Instagram. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that were you when they were there, that are you when you were 22, and they're trying to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But first of all, there's a lot of them. Second of all, they're doing it for, like, a week, and mm-hmm. then they're over it again.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy that every 5 years, it's like, it's a new platform, it's a new, like, generation of people coming in trying to do things. Yeah, I remember,
like, MySpace, and then Facebook, and then now
Like, when there was MySpace, I could never imagine
that there's anything better.
Doing Facebook. Yeah. And then when I was on Facebook, I was like, oh, like, I hated joining Facebook, because I loved my MySpace, and then... Mm-hmm. I
know, it's like you think you can't live without it, and like into that new thing comes, and then you have to kind of like transition to it, but then it's like the new thing.
Yeah. I remember Instagram, I was like, this is so dumb.
Yeah. Like what? Photo, you post a picture and that's it?
Yeah, whatever. And then like now it's like so many things now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And now there's a couple other things coming out, and I heard YouTube is going to start actually making their own. Like,
I'm not big into YouTube.
It's such a pain in the ass. Yeah.
I just started listening to podcasts too. So
podcast is simple because you can
listen to it in the car
anywhere. Yeah. Like, you don't have to watch it.
Yep.
You can have your little wireless earpods in now, and you're just cruising and listening.
Traveling
to stuff.
Anywhere, like, it's easy.
And you can listen to almost anything.
Yep.
Like at any time.
It's true.
Moral of the story, I guess, is you gotta stay ahead of the trends. Like, you and I have had this conversation before. Like, if you were...
Dude, first to market is everything.
Yeah, if you would have been to Instagram 2 years earlier or something like that, you know, then that would have been huge. So, like, find the next Instagram. Like, what's the next thing? Like, maybe it's podcasts, maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's something completely different.
Yeah.
That's, like, a whole nother subject, I feel like, for me. For sure. It's, like, being first to market is, I mean...
On any platform.
In my world, or, like, in anyone's world, I feel like, is everything. Like...
It's, I mean, yeah, it's who you know more than...
Yeah.
What you know and all that stuff. I mean, and it comes down to being the best person you can for everybody that you meet, because sometimes the person that you meet is...
Yep.
Owns a chain of nutrition stores.
Or is a multimillionaire and wants to invest in your company.
Exactly. All right, so what would be the next phase for you right now to get to, like, your next goal in life? Like, that'll be, like, the last thing we talk about.
This is why we're fucking good at this, because you just read my mind. I was going to ask the same question.
My next goal is... My goal with Buff Bake is to... I want to build and sell it.
Okay.
I want to... I feel like I'm a creator. Like, the fun part for me is to, like... come up with new ideas.
The challenge.
Come up with new ideas, brand them, like, get them going... prove the concept, and then find people to run the concept, and then go and build my next idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at with Buff Bake right now, is I feel like Buff Bake still has a ton of growing to do. Maybe like another 3 to 5 years, but my goal is to continue to build that and sell it. And then I also am kind of in the process of starting something new.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
You don't have to say what it is, but you do have a good idea.
We need to have podcast number 2 where I talk about the new idea.
For sure.
But yeah, so I'm doing something totally on my own, 100%.
Food related?
Food related, 100%. Just because it's like, I feel like after you tap into an industry and you like really learn the industry, like basically.
It's a lot easier to...
And you have the contacts and everything.
Yeah, like I look at Buff Bake as my, I went to college for 4 years. Like, I've been into Buff Bake for 4 years. Like, that's my college. Like, I'm graduating college and I like want to start my own thing too.
Mm-hmm.
While still running Buff Bake, but I have all these other business partners to run it too. So it's like, I really feel like I'm at the point where I want to do something on my own, like 100% on my own, like.
So this is the 22-year-old self conversation
coming back. Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. And I respect that for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at now, is continue to grow Buff Bake and start my new little idea that I have in my head.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Buff Bake, Instagram, social media, all that stuff?
Buff Bake. Our Instagram is just Buff Bake.
Okay.
And then mine is
B-U-F-F.
B-U-F-F-B-A-K-E.
Guys, check it out. I think you guys have close to 100,000 followers now.
215.
Ooh, get it right.
Way
oh,
off.
I read something. I didn't look at it, but I read that.
So 215,
if anybody wants to try a Buff Bake product, they can click on the link on there.
Yeah, so, or just go to the website, www.buffbake.com, or Vitamin Shop, if you're local in Southern California, Wholesale Nutrition Center, my favorite. Where else? Sprouts, we just got into Sprouts, Safeway, Albertsons, East Coast, Wegmans, HEB, or just order it offline.
What kind of flavors and stuff can we get people salivating on right now?
Okay, we just came out with these sandwich cookies, and they're amazing. Have you tried any of them?
I haven't tried the cookies.
I'm going to send you guys
a
package.
Us any?
I know. I was in the office today.
I've had nut butters. Before you guys, I think, even started dating, I was eating some of the nut butters for a long time. I think, was it the red velvet my favorite one, I think, maybe?
Is it? That's my least favorite.
I can't remember. There's a few.
White chocolate is the best. But these new sandwich cookies that we have, they're two little mini cookies with our nut butter in between them. And they're crunchy, so they're like Nutter Butters. And we're coming out, actually, like, as we speak, my cousin's at the co-packers, and we're making sweet and salty. It kind of tastes like salted caramel and birthday cake, and they're amazing.
Oh, my God.
Holy so shit, those will yeah. be live by the time this goes live. They're so good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, there you have it. The whole story and... We just gave you a Food Network porn scene.
Food porn.
Just now. So you guys can go check out Buff Baked on Instagram. Don't forget to check out myself, Ryan Fish, and your co-host, Yaya's View.
Yup.
And we will see you guys on the other side.
Bye-bye.
And that's going to wrap it up. Another one in the books. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. It was Ashley's first podcast ever, so we feel like she did great. Make sure you guys leave us a comment review. Let us know how she did. And as always, hit us up on all of our Instagrams. Let us know what you guys think. It really helps drive the podcast forward just to hear from you guys what you guys think, what you want to hear more of, what you didn't like. Whatever it is, we'll try to accommodate. And tell your friends, tell your mom, subscribe, review, share, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys on the next one. One.